Many blessings and welcome to Spiritual Sense Podcast. Hello, Shireen.
Hi, Michael.
Yay. This is the Advanced Spiritual Podcast for the discerning spiritual being who wants to experience higher states of consciousness and freedom. So today we're diving into the secrets of immortality, the secrets to become immortal. So much energy is spent on trying to extend our life. You know, there's all these different surgeries and special supplements and like different, what's the latest one?
Did you see
one?
That guy who takes like a million supplements?
He takes a million supplements and he has this whole $1 million thing he spends. And then what is the stem cell?
He doesn't look any younger than he is though.
Not really, no. It's in the stem cell thing where people inject themselves and it just goes on and on and on, doesn't it, right? So obviously there's a strong desire to live longer and extend life, and understandably, right? Because we don't want to die. We don't want to have an end to our life. If we enjoy our life, we want to keep it going, don't we? We want to extend it out.
But there is a paradox in it, Michael. The paradox is the more I focus on the physical body, the more I try to extend my life. Okay, maybe it will extend, but there's somehow so much stress associated with it. A long life doesn't mean a healthy life. A long life doesn't mean a happy life.
In fact, the irony is that there are quite a few people who are obsessed with health who died young. I know quite a few stories of like people who run supplement companies and this do everything right, and then they have some unexpected illness and they get taken out when they're like 40 something or 50 something. So we're going to be talking about the deeper things here. We're going to give it away at the beginning. What's the secret to immortality? You don't have to become immortal. Why don't you have to become immortal, Shireen? Why is there no need to become immortal?
Because you are immortal.
It's not something, it's a given. It's a given. We're a spiritual being. So there's a wonderful expression, Jivan Mukti, which means freedom in life in a second. Freedom in life in a second. The reason that's a reality is because when we wake up to the fact that we're spiritual beings, then we have this complete liberation in that one moment. It might take 50 years to get to that moment, potentially, for some people. But
yes, it's like asking, when did the popcorn pop?
Exactly.
When did the corn pop?
Yeah. And so
the second you wake up.
Yeah. So as soon as you realize you're a spiritual being, you become immortal. You have the consciousness that there's no end. There's even if this body dies, I will carry on and I'll take another body and I'll be back in the game again. It's a bit like I'm playing a game, video game, right? The video game, if someone dies and they have another go, right? It's not like the end of the game. And they might, you know, choose a different character the next time. And so this is a game where the player is immortal and the vehicle that we use will change. When you really embrace this, not theoretically, but as a real feeling, then it totally changes your life in a remarkable, profound way.
It does. Ah. But there are a few problems with this.
Oh, dear. Oh, no.
There's one problem, right? Okay, there's one problem. No, like I'm thinking back to what you're saying about scientists and people, right? Who's constantly taking the next pill, the next stem cell, whatever, to look young and look immortal. Mm-hmm. But it's almost like everyone is trying to extract the last drop of happiness out of a body, right? Mm-hmm. And it's almost like madness because everyone knows. Do you know anyone, however wealthy, however important, however brilliant, anyone, right? Like the Newton, Einstein, whoever, right? Do you know anyone who has survived? Do you know death is inevitable? You know growing old is inevitable. Everyone knows this because for the amount of work that people have put into this whole eternity and immortality business, you know, with strips and all of that stuff, right? Scientists have not cracked the code yet. There is no secret to immortal life. Not yet, right? And people say, oh, in our lifetime it will happen. No, it won't happen. But here's the thing. Because so far it hasn't happened. And even if it does happen, do you want to live in this stressed out world? Really? Like, what is your life like? I mean, the only thing is that you're immortal, but that you don't want a good life, you don't want a happy life?
No, life should be enjoyed. If we're not enjoying being alive, then it's not a life at all, is it? Life without happiness is life without meaning.
So that's the paradox, right? You're like going after immortality, but forgetting that the whole point of it is I need to enjoy this. The second aspect I feel is that people are trying to squeeze the last drop of happiness out of a dying body. Right? I mean, the last drop they squeeze. They lose everything in their power to squeeze out that happiness out of that body. And, you know, there in psychology, there is a term called dissociative identity disorder. And dissociative identity disorder is you cannot identify with who you are, right? You just dissociate from who you are. Like, I'm not able to identify with Shireen or whatever, everything to do with Shireen. So that disorder is called dissociative identity disorder. And so all of us, people who want immortality, people, scientists, whoever, squeezing the last drop of happiness from a material body, they all have a spiritual version of dissociative identity disorder.
Can you explain that a little bit more?
Because they don't want to accept that they're souls.
Oh, I see. Right. Ultimately, in terms of spiritually, right.
Yeah, spiritually we are souls, and people are not willing to accept. Yes, you can have eternal life. Yes, you can be immortal because you're an immortal soul.
You don't have to do anything.
You just can't be attached to this body. That's it.
Yeah. So we should call this how to have eternal life. No pills necessary. No surgeries and no injections either. Isn't that great?
Right.
In one second. Because if that's the reality, is we remember on a deeper level, not theoretically, but as an experience, that I'm an eternal being, a spiritual being that's different from the body. And then we can feel that profound peace wash over us, and then we realize everything's fine, and there's no end. What a relief. What a relief. The interesting thing I'll just mention is that Shireen and I both know this from our experience, is like you were saying about trying to juice every last little drop out of the body. When you were talking about this image came to mind. I saw this YouTube video a while ago of these people who did a lot of drugs, and they got them in the room and they actually replicated the amount of drugs that they had. So they had this table with like this massive pile of cocaine. It was like this high, and then like massive pile of pills. And one of the guys was saying that, like over the years, he said, the drugs just don't work like they used to. And he said, this is like massive, like piles of the stuff. Like there's a whole table full of it, right? And because the more we try and get something from anything, it starts to lose its effect.
Anything physical.
And then it stops having any effect at all. And then it can lead to like numbness, right? Now, the interesting thing is that when we experience deep meditation, we go beyond the body, the experience of the body. And my personal experience of this multiple times is that on return to the body, I physically experience such an ecstatic state of bliss and joy that's beyond anything I've had from anything that I've ever had in my, you know, any experiences I've had or any drugs I've taken or any, you know, sugar or whatever, right? So the irony is that we experience more bliss by going out of the thing than we do by being in it, trying to get all these different experiences. Isn't that fascinating? Isn't that just
that
absolutely
fascinating?
That is a
very fascinating and important point, Michael. Thank you for bringing it up. That's very fascinating. Even I've noticed many times how wonderful I feel once I, you know, do a spiritual practices, come back, I'm like, well, life is great.
It's the best ever. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, best ever. And you know what? And I don't care if this body is not immortal, because I know the soul will live on, and I know the happiness in the soul will always be there.
Yeah.
Right? If I don't like glob onto the body and say, you know, really tightly and say, this is me and this is who I am and this is what is going on, then everything is fine. This is, like I'm telling you, spiritual version of dissociative identity disorder. You're a soul. You're a soul. You're a soul. You're an immortal soul. I don't know how to say the name. I think it's Icarus. The Greek guy,
Icarus.
Icarus. Is it Icarus?
Yeah, Icarus. Yeah.
Okay. Icarus. Icarus and Daedalus. So Daedalus was the father and Icarus was the son. And so, and this story came to me when I was sitting in meditation last year. So Daedalus builds the sun feathers, right? Feathers and wax and all of that. The like wings with feathers and sticks it together with wax. And he warns Icarus that don't fly too close to the sun. And he does. And he falls and burns and dies. All of that stuff happens, right? And so I feel the reason why Icarus wouldn't listen is because of lack of humility and hubris and, you know, just being arrogant about things. And I feel that's how scientists are these days. People who are researching immortality, finding the pills, finding whatever, right? They are not taking into wise counsel. Wise counsel about what do wisdom traditions talk about the soul, right? What do we, who are we actually, right? This is wise counsel. It's not just I came up with I'm an eternal soul, right? For millennia, people have been talking about the fact that we are spiritual beings, we are immortal beings. You know, in many of the ancient texts, they talk about these things. So we must be spiritual and immortal beings. So to not listen to that and to think that, oh, I can do this, I can, you know, I can totally achieve immortality, just like Icarus, I can totally go close to the sun.
Yeah, the arrogance of science is quite remarkable. I mean, science has, of course, an upside to it, which, of course, we enjoy on a regular basis. But the, like, even like the gain of function research with COVID vaccine, like all that stuff, you know, and like the danger side of science, where they do these experiments that can end up causing pandemics or causing mass destruction or, you know, nuclear bombs and all this stuff. It's because of science, isn't it? And then obsessing around the body and dangerous potential things. And then even some people, they get plastic surgery and it goes wrong and then they feel bad about it afterwards and their face is all messed up. And so all these things, there's a whole dark side to it, isn't there, around science. There's also, of course, a positive side. But
I know I'm alive, you know, because of science, right? Yeah. So yeah, I'm happy for science, but you know, like you're saying, yeah, it always has downsides, and the whole idea that you could just create a pill and you would be immortal is
kind of amusing, really. And a lot of the amusing time, what I find interesting about America, like I love America, I'm grateful for America, and I'm glad I'm here, right? And what I've noticed is that people get so good at trivial things. Like they're really, really good at, like, you know, like making some animation look absolutely incredible, or they're really amazing at some special dance routine or something, right? And it doesn't really make that much difference to anyone's real life. But they put so much energy and money and everything behind it. And they've like totally cracked the code, and like round of applause, like best ever. But then when it comes to happiness a joy, awakening. There's like no, hardly any research behind it, hardly any energies in hardly any marketing behind it. Isn't it interesting? Like the genius and the wealth is all going in these other directions.
There are many good people though, Michael.
There are. It's just interesting how...
we'll just invoke them to come and do this.
Yeah, no, it's all good. I'm not complaining about it. The point is, it's not complaint. No, the point isn't, it's not complaint to anyone. The point is that the energy that goes into so many things that don't actually make people happier. And then there is something that we can do right now, which is to realize we're spiritual beings. It doesn't cost any money at all. And can bring us into the experience of being immortal without spending a penny and without going to any hospitals or anything.
Right. My question is to anyone who wants to take a pill and become immortal, why? Even as a body, right? Even as a body, if I'm not healthy, why would I need a long life? I'm not even talking about the mind and the soul and the happiness of the mind and the happiness of the soul. I'm not even talking about that. If as a body, if I'm not healthy, why would I need a long life? Because it should be a healthy life and a long life, both, right? One is that question. Why would I need to be healthy? Why would I need a long life if it's not healthy? Two is just me, right? Just me having immortal life, or just a few of us having immortal life. Like, let's say I take a pill and this body becomes immortal. There'll be just a few, right? Because it's very expensive, all of these things. So there'll just be a very few people. How we are not understanding is how we are interconnected, right? If like, just like, for example, if I go into a bar, I will be affected by what's happening in the bar. I will be affected by the thoughts of the people. I'll be affected by whatever is going on in the bar, because everyone's minds are working at a certain level and my mind comes into entrainment with them, right? And you have to be extremely, extremely powerful not to get affected, but you get influenced, you get affected. So in the same way, in a city, whatever is happening in the city, I get affected. In my community, in my area, whatever is happening, I get affected. In the same way, whatever is happening in the world, I get affected, right? If 90% of the population is unhealthy, dying, and I have an immortal life, what's the point? So I don't understand this. I don't understand immortality, physical immortality, for these three things. One is, if I'm immortal and don't have a healthy body, what's the point? Mm-hmm. If everyone is suffering and I have an immortal life, what's the point? The third one is, if the soul is not healthy, if the soul is not happy, if the soul is not fulfilled, the soul doesn't have a higher purpose, meaning, giving, you know, because there's so much research on happiness that the soul really receives so much from giving, so much from having mm-hmm. meaning in life and purpose in life and all of these things, right? So if the soul doesn't have any of that thing and the only thing is it has immortal life, what's the point?
Yeah, absolutely. If you're feeling sick and you don't have a good life, why would you want to be alive a long time, you know? I mean, there are even people who are very successful and young and healthy, and they commit suicide because they're not happy, right? Because yeah. Something happened. And so...
And I heard a lot of people who are wealthy are taking antidepressants too.
Yeah. So
I'm taking antidepressants and I want immortal life. Why?
Yeah, maybe I can figure out the cure to depression if you're there long enough. I don't know. the thing is, once we realize we're spiritual beings, we realize that once you get older, then the body stops working as well. And it's not as easy to be in the body. And then it's in many ways a relief to leave the body. And then you become a child again. And then you can run around and play and dance and sing and not have to worry about anything for a few years, right? And this, do you know what I mean? Because children, so if you have good karma, you go into a new body in a nice situation. And that's a huge upgrade on being like lying in a hospital, being pumped with drugs and kept alive for an extra 10 years by some medical interventions. Because a lot of people, they're in hospital and they don't like it. You know, I've heard stories about this from people. They're like, I don't want to be here anymore. Like, I've got no quality of life. I'm sitting in a bed. I can't see outside. I can't look at anything. I can't do anything I like. And I'm nothing, I don't want to watch TV all day long. So,
I remember one of my hospital stays. I was so done with it. Like, so done with it.
When you were sick?
Yeah, one of the times when I was sick, I was like, I don't want to be here at all.
Yeah. Gosh.
I almost ran away, actually. Someone came to visit me and they didn't find me in the room. They were like, where did she go? And I was sitting near the stairs, not the elevator, near the stairs, looking at the stairs, thinking, should I run away or not?
You're on the edge, were you? On the edge of
it. Totally on the edge. Oh, I was totally losing it.
Oh, gosh. Bless your heart. That must have been very difficult. So you nearly just walked down and just sneaked out of the hospital?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like one more test would have put me over
the
edge.
Throw me over the edge. Gosh. Yeah. So life is about enjoying ourselves and being happy. And if we haven't got that, then what is the point, really? So how can somebody listening to this have that experience of being immortal? That's the big question, isn't it? We've established that you can't become immortal physically. And even if you could, what's the point? So how can we experience immortality?
It's a very good question. Very good question, Michael. You have to accept. Faith, right? Mm-hmm. Faith or conviction, even before conviction, nischay, even before conviction that I am an immortal soul, before anything, acceptance has to happen. You have to really accept that you are an immortal soul. And you have to take that as a given. And just like any scientific experiment, you have to start experimenting. And you first accept, I'm an immortal soul, and then start experimenting with it. Like you start doing meditation, simple meditation practices, you start doing it. And then you will start experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you start experiencing, that is when faith comes.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. It starts, I remember the first class I went to, spiritual class, I was told, you're a spiritual being. This was when I was 18. And I thought, thank goodness. I remember thinking, this is great news. Well, the great news is, because I thought I was this confused teenager, and now I've been told I'm a spiritual being. Well, this is a massive improvement. And, you know, it's a huge upgrade. Jiva Mukti in a second, liberation in life. And then we go from theory, and then we start practicing, and then we have an experience after a while where we actually genuinely feel detached from the body. So it feels like you're sort of back here, like in the audience almost, watching everything unfold. There's a separation from the body and the consciousness. They kind of get separated. And that separation, for whatever reason, actually produces bliss chemicals. I've heard that DMT, which people take the drug DMT it's called the God drug, and people take it, this like, I don't know how they do it. It's on the back of a toad or something. But people take it to have spiritual experiences. And what I've heard that when you detach from the body, it actually releases DMT in the brain, which is the same thing as what these people are doing artificially. So that's probably why it feels so good when we come back in again, because it's like this separation. So we have the knowledge, I'm a spiritual being, then we start to practice it, and it goes from thought level to it pops out all of a sudden. You come into this experience where this is a real feeling. And my personal feeling is if I don't start laughing about it, then I haven't really had the experience. Do you know what I mean, Shireen? Because it brings you a lot of joy, doesn't it? It seems like I was so stressed out about everything, and I'm actually an immortal being. What am I worried about? And it's such a relief, such a beautiful relief, and such an awakened state.
You know, even one of the steps into awakening is realization. And realization is so important. And realization doesn't come just like randomly you're sitting and grace comes and you have realization, right?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't happen that way. Realization really comes when you start really putting wisdom into yourself, right? Into the mm-hmm. soul. You pick up a wisdom practice, you start reading about it, you start doing all of these things, then you feel it. Then you start having realizations. You know, if you do this thing that people are doing, oh, they're called the nuns, N-O-N-E-S. I don't belong here. I don't belong there. I take a little bit from here, a little bit from there, right? Nothing happens. You have to really commit and you have to really put in a lot of wisdom into the soul. To have realization, to have experiences, to really understand you're a soul, to really experience you're a soul.
Right. And be around other people who practice these things and experience it. So now you know what to do, that you're an immortal soul. Just the more you practice it, realize it, focus on it, the more powerful it gets. And no need for pills, isn't that great? Or plastic surgery or anything else, right? Free of charge, no pain and no annoying diets and supplements and injections necessary.
You know, when I saw this gentleman and all the supplements he takes, I was like, shoot me. I'm going to die before I take that many supplements.
Yeah.
Just, you might as well shoot me.
Exactly, be done with it. Exactly, get it over and done with. We're not saying never take any supplements, but like the level at which some people go, it's like dominates their entire life and they don't really have much time for anything else. But each to their own. I mean, it'd be funny if that guy, at some point realizes he's a spiritual being and has a wake up and see how that changes his life. It'd be very interesting to have his story.
Yeah. We'll have good wishes it happens.
Yeah, he's a good soul. So anyway.
Everyone are good souls, right? I don't want to imply that anyone is a bad soul.
No,
everyone is trying the best. They're misguided, but they're really, really wonderful beings. I don't have anything against anyone. It's just that it's not for me.
No, exactly. It's there's an easier method. We prefer the method that gets the biggest result with the least amount of effort, which, all right. So we have a special blessing.
Yes. You want to pick a number? Or
you pick it up. Pick it up at random.
Disinterest.
Disinterest. There you go. That might be the solution to the whole issue.
Through God's eyes, you see the immense arc of history. And do not take sides. Your love, pure and neutral, does not favor or defend, but seeks the highest good for all. Your heart rejoices, knowing your perspective brings you closer to God.
Ah, thank you very much. It's very beautiful. All right. Well, thank you for listening, everyone. Thank you, Shireen.
That was a very enjoyable session.
Fun and games. As long as we're happy, everyone's happy, isn't it? So see you next time. And if you're interested in more free goodies and deeper things about immortality, check out our resources below the video and watch other videos. Lots of love.
And apologize for all the noise here.
Some people want to make their gardens pristine, so what can you do? All right. Much love.
Om Shanti.